Well, the Symphony of Summer is underway. There are lawnmowers groaning, kids shrieking, outdoor concerts to attend, crackling fires, motorcycles whizzing by. Summer delights often reaches through the years, right? But protecting our hearing is pretty important, too. Often it's an afterthought, though. My next guest would like that to change. She's Candace Fisher, and she's with Fisher Hearing over at the Osler Medical Center. And Candace, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
Let's start first with a little lesson on how noise actually damages our hearing. What exactly happens to our ears when they're exposed to loud sounds?
Great question. So with loud noise, what happens? Typically, sound is just pressure. A little bit of pressure comes in, like speech, gets everything vibrating. There's tiny little hairs in the ear. That sends the sound up to the brain. Everything's great. When you have something too loud, like if you were using, say, a jackhammer, for example, instead of that gentle vibration, it's just going through like a tornado. And those tiny little nerves just can't handle it. And they bend and they break. And unfortunately, with inner ear cells, they don't regenerate. So once we've done that damage from noise, it's permanent.
You suggest we've got to be careful in the summer. So what sort of examples can you give us about summer sounds that are too harsh on ears?
There's so many of them. You think of even somebody that you can't wait to get your motorcycle out, for example. So if you're driving to work and it's 20 minutes, you know you're going to be fine. Motorcycle runs about 97 decibels. So your safe zone or safe duration would be approximately 30 minutes. So to work, and then you drive home 8 hours, 9 hours later, that's fine. No problem at all. An 8 hour drive, say driving to go for a holiday or something like that, that's a lot of noise over that 8 hours. Leaf blower, that changes a whole bunch. That's 109 decibels. So you can cause damage in under 2 minutes if you're not protecting those ears.
I just had the shop vac out last weekend, and I thought to myself, man, that is loud when I was inside the cab of the truck vacuuming.
That's another problem. You're probably not doing that for 2 minutes, right? Probably 15 minutes. So you just have to be conscious of the fact that anything that you're around that's noisy can cause damage.
What are we supposed to do?
Awareness is the key. Think of it, if it's loud, that you're just a little bit of a distance away. Think of how long you're doing. If you're on the motorcycle, like we said, for 8 hours, that's very different than being on something for 2 hours. So you just have to be conscious of what kind of noise.
Okay, and what about going to concert festivals?
Wear your earplugs. Don't dance on the speaker. It's okay to go to concerts. We all do it. Just protect yourself. Open air, that's a little bit safer than, of course, in a dance club or something like that, but it still causes damage. So wear your earplugs. There's great stuff out there.
She's Candace Fisher. She's my hearing expert, and I know this from firsthand, and I know you do too, Candace. The link between hearing loss, if I experienced it firsthand watching my mom before she passed, too stubborn to get a hearing aid, it affects her cognitive decline, but also socially, inevitably, my mom passed from Alzheimer's. When you talk about hearing loss, that's about as serious as you can get right there.
This has become such a common question and such a common refrain. There has been so many research studies done on the link between hearing and cognition or cognitive decline. A lead researcher, Dr. Franklin, he says even a mild hearing loss doubles the dementia risk. A moderate loss can triple the risk. And somebody with severe hearing loss that's untreated, 5 times more likely to develop dementia. And it's not just that. It's also, if you think of people with hearing loss, they become very withdrawn. Hearing loss is very isolated. That's a terrible thing, right? It's healthy. It's good for the brain to be stimulated. And part of that is being socially active.
Candace, that might be the most important information you shared in this conversation. I can't tell you how many people I know that are probably listening right now and thinking, that's what I see or hear in my parents or my aunt or uncle or even in themselves. You will lose social connection if you don't get your hearing checked. How often should you get your hearing checked?
You know, we used to say by the time you're 50, you should at least be getting that baseline. It gives us something to compare back to. Just like your blood pressure, you should know where your hearing is. And then you're aware of changes. So if you're finding that, oh, I think it's dropped, you come in again. Don't wait 2 years. Don't wait 5 years. There's really no age to be tested. If you think you're having trouble hearing, very, very important. Get it checked. Once hearing loss is identified, I typically say at least a reevaluation within every 2 years, just so we can monitor.
Okay, Candace Fisher is here. I wanted to know, too, how accurate are those loudness warnings on our Apple Watches? Is that a good idea to have on your wrist?
100%. If you're someone you think it's loud, there's so many, if you look at your app stores, there's, you know, how many different sound level meters. They're a great idea. They're not going to be bang on. They're not calibrated, but they're going to be close enough. If, you know, if it says it's 102, that's loud. That's really loud. You should be thinking about that.
From Fisher Hearing over in the Osler Medical Center, it's Candace Fisher. I wish I had more time, but I think you've educated us a lot here this morning, Candace. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Hauling yourself out of the sack this morning. Perhaps you're on vacation. Lucky you. Maybe you took it off to go to the X with the kids. It opens tomorrow. Queen City X, just one more sleep away. And those day tripper passes that include admission for $55. The best deal are at co-ops, but only today. They will not be available tomorrow for savings. So check on that. Joining me now, Andrew Shepherd from the 980 CJME Newsroom. You've probably strolled through the Midway once or twice in your lifetime. You got a favorite ride or not?
Yeah, there's a couple classics I like. I mean, the Tilt-A-Whirl. I like the rides that spin and not drop. I'm not a fan of the stomach dropping feeling, but I like the spinning.
Yeah.
I'm not too bad at that. So Tilt-A-Whirl is a classic. I mean, the Zipper.
That's back for the first time in a while this year.
And it's back because of the new Midway we have. Anything that's got, like, you know, the ones that they kind of have a claw with multiple arms, and each arm spins, and each bucket kind of spins on that, and you're kind of going
all over
the
place. You like spinning, not going upside down.
I don't mind being upside down. Don't like huge drops.
I don't know. They've called it, you know, the drop of doom. I think it's called the super shot at this year's fair. That one where you go straight up on the pole, and then they just hang you there waiting.
No, thanks.
That one I had a fear of. I had to conquer many years ago. Is there a ride that you've looked at and conquered your fear? Because that would be it for me.
Well,
and once you do it, you realize the drop isn't that bad.
Well, my parents took me on the Tower of Doom at Disney World when I was 7. That might
Tower
have something.
Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror. That's
I love that one.
Yeah, that one.
That's a great ride. All right. Hey, what's going on when we check out the wildfire situation up north? What's the latest we need to know there?
Yeah, we have some good news today for the wildfire evacuees from Beauval. They get to go home. On Facebook, they put out a message saying that the mandatory evacuation will be lifted tomorrow. Buses will start bringing people home. It won't be business as usual. As you know, as you get back, some things not set up yet. They're going to have a central fire response base with a curfew in place there. And then the local state of emergency still in place for now. It's going to be ending next Wednesday, the 6th.
Okay. Also, yesterday in Saskatoon, legislators from both the U.S. and Canada were gathering to discuss the looming tariff and trade talks. How did that go?
Yeah, the big news coming out of here was former Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who spoke yesterday, and he says he was approached by the Liberal government a few weeks ago asking for his advice on trade negotiations with the U.S. And while he says Canada needs some sort of short-term deal with the U.S. for now, he called this whole situation a wake-up call, saying Canada needs to find new trading partners outside the U.S. He says we can't be in a position in the future where we can be threatened like this. It's some other politicians have been saying this. Ontario's Premier Doug Ford yesterday also pointed out, you know, we're going to be going through all of this trade negotiations again because the USMCA deal is set to be renegotiated next spring. So a lot of change in Canada's future for who we trade with.
All right, let's get away. We've gone north there up Highway 11 to Saskatoon. Let's go west here where the Alberta by-election candidate list is rather extensive. There's a big by-election debate tonight, and Pierre Poilievre, who's hoping to win that seat, is going to be in the debate tonight. But more than 200 candidates, so Elections Canada has made an adjustment here, haven't they?
Yeah, this is the same thing's happening with what happened in his Carleton riding in Ottawa, where there's this protest group called the Longest Ballot Committee, and they're signing up all kinds of candidates. There are more than 200 for this by-election, and so it was for the Ottawa election, that ballot was a meter long. If they print this ballot off for this by-election, it would be 2 meters long. So they said, we can't do that. Instead of marking an X, you're going to have to write in the candidate name. And I guess spelling won't matter as long as it's clear they know who you're voting for.
Oh, so it will not matter if you spell. Because Pierre Poilievre, who hopes to win, it's not exactly everyone knows how to spell his name.
No, and I'm wondering now, does this group go, okay, well, here's our new candidate, Peter Poilievre, and Paul Poilievre, and who knows where this is going to go.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. All right, that election, by the way, coming up next month, I think it's on the 18th, but the debate is on tonight. Andrew Shepherd, I thank you for your time from the 980 CJME Newsroom. CJME News Time now is 6:57.
A lot of people on vacation this time of the year, and if you're out driving, you can't help but notice how most of the farm fields are looking in pretty good shape right about now. However, life of a farmer is dependent on, well, obviously so many variables, but weather being number one. It's what helps sprout the crops. It can take away the crops with hail, wind, and rain damage. So the last thing any farmer needs is to worry about crops being destroyed by some donkey driving an ATV or side-by-side through their crops. But that is exactly what has happened to the Gurney Farm. And joining me now is Aaron Gurney. Good morning, Aaron. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You and your husband, also named Aaron, I might add, farm whereabouts?
We farm just like in and around the Tantallon area. So we are straight south of the K2 potash mine. We have land in the Quapaw Valley and on top of the Quapaw Valley, and yeah.
Yeah, and now that I know where you farm, what do you farm? Is it mostly crops, or do you have cattle too?
Yeah, we farm grain farm, so we have canola and wheat, and this year we have a bit of peas, and we run about 120 cows.
Wow, you are busy on the farm, so thanks for taking a minute or two with me now. So recently, you were out checking the fields and got a little discouraged from what you saw. So what happened?
Yeah, so my in-laws actually were just on a tour, just checking our crops, and they happened to drive down the rail bed, and they noticed that trail across our pea field in the valley there. So snapped a picture and sent it to my husband, and yeah, definitely discouraging.
Yeah, and really flattened it. So has anyone reported seeing anything, or have you caught whoever did it?
Not really. Just trying to spread the word out
that,
there,
hey,
like, don't do it.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like someone really didn't use any common sense. So getting frustrated by this, destroying your crops, and if someone else sees that, look, a trail has been created, you're probably a little concerned someone else might do the same, right?
That's exactly right. That's the first thing Aaron said is, like, the trail comes right off of the valley road, and there is an approach there, but not, like, a trail. So, yeah, if somebody else sees that, they'll be like, oh, there's already a trail here. And the rail bed is just across that field. So, obviously, trying to get to the rail bed.
So, what do you want to say to anyone out there that has an ATV or side-by-side? When you want to go out and rip around, what would you suggest to them?
Yeah, just be respectful. Like, that's people's livelihood out there, and it might not seem like you're doing much damage, but that's like hard work every day that goes into those fields, and just using common sense, really. Like, if they had gone like a half a mile either way, there's a bush line there, and you wouldn't have to trample crop, and just being respectful, like closing gates. Like, you might not see the cows, but that doesn't mean they're not in there. So leaving a gate open can be like fairly detrimental, especially like when we're valley country, right? You get a herd of cattle running through the valley isn't exactly easy territory to get them
No
back.
Kidding. No kidding. Aaron Gurney's my guest from the farm here. Really quick, how is your crop situation looking other than what's been destroyed there? And hopefully the rest is looking all right. How are you feeling about this year's crop?
I know my husband is, like, he's feeling pretty good about it. Of course, like every other farmer, probably wishing for more rain, just timely rains, really, like canola's in flower right now. So other than that, things are looking pretty decent. You won't know until the grain's in the bin, though, right? So just praying Mother Nature cooperates with us and we have a good year. And to all the farmers out there, too, we wish the same.
Okay, well, so you're hoping for a little more rain in the next week or two. Yeah. Another farming friend of mine around Ogama said, okay, I just want it to be sunny. It's pockets of rain all over this province right now, but each to their own. I hope you get what you're looking for, and most importantly, I hope that people learn from what you've shared here this morning. If you're on a side-by-side or an ATV, you don't go ripping through the crops. It's just a dumb move, but good reminder, and thanks for sharing this morning, Aaron.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I used to love this show way back in the day, Sex in the City. Why am I playing it as Evan Bray drops in for a visit? Well,
why,
it's because...
Why are you playing it, Greg?
The star of the Evan Bray show has been on vacation for I don't know how long, a month or two it seems here.
Greg, I was off one day.
And you're back, and the first thing you book is a sex and intimacy counselor for your show.
Well,
like, what happened during your break?
Yeah, you know what? We had Natasha Salash on the show about 6 months ago, and that's what she does. She is a sex and intimacy counselor.
Okay.
We open it up, so we take her. We take calls for an hour or texts. We had a lot of anonymous texts, Greg. There was a lot of Daves and Bobs that were texting in with questions. But she's awesome. She's a great guest. And yeah, we thought it'd be good to bring her back onto the show.
If you could ask her anything, what would you ask? Well, I put you on the spot.
That is, you know, also, I'll tell you a good question that was asked last time that I thought she had a good answer to is it okay as a couple if sometimes it's not making love? It's just sex. She had a good answer to that. So I'm sure she'll get asked that question again.
Well, what was the answer?
Well, Greg, you'll have to listen to the show, won't you?
Oh, my. There's so many things I want to say right now, but I'm holding back because I know I have kids around the breakfast table. Evan Bray, I have to ask you here, too, about what's going on in Alberta, that by-election where Pierre Poilievre was hoping to win in order to get his seat back at Parliament there. And there's more than 200 candidates.
209 or something like
that? Elections Canada said, okay, you don't have to grab a ballot that's like, you know,
2 meters long.
Exactly. You're just going to write the name
down. You know what this reminds me of? The Seinfeld episode where Kramer says, why don't you just tell me the movie?
Why don't you just tell me who you want to vote for?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Actually, there's Pierre is going to be in the debate tonight, but I don't think they have all 200.
No, they got 10. I think 10 people in the debate. But I had a big disagreement with our boss about this because I called it election interference. Murray Wood doesn't think it is. He says our democracy allows it. So how is it interference?
Allow what? But maybe you should just.
Well, allows people to run as an independent, put a bunch of names on the ballot. This is the protest group, the longest ballot committee, and they basically are trying to bring about election reform, but doing it by making a travesty of elections. And they're doing it again here in this by-election.
You're right. And I can't totally disagree with that to some degree. But at the same time, I think they've just made it easier because most people just know Pierre's name off the top of their head.
Perhaps you're right.
Of 200, maybe, okay, Pierre.
Yeah.
And they said if you screw up his name, because it's not exactly easy for everyone to print out, it doesn't matter.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
Pierre Poilievre, you're in. It's Pierre, but
So you could be right by allowing people just to write the name in. Maybe that does favor him again. But nonetheless, it just seems ridiculous to have that many names on a ballot.
Okay. Also coming up on your show, a bit of a hot button topic that you want to broach today.
Well, so the five NHL, former NHL players that were charged with sexual assault, the high profile World Junior players, that verdict came down last week, acquitted. So the question is now, do they return to the NHL? And I mean, I have a tough time knowing that they were acquitted to not think they could return to the NHL. Like how are we saying that they can't return to the NHL? I know there's a ton of advocates. I see both sides of this. They're 18-year-old kids doing, I hate to say it, but the reality is there's lots of people out there doing things as questionable as this. I'm not condoning, obviously, sexual assault. I'm just saying a court has found them not guilty.
Well, and precedent has already been set kind of by the NHL. You ask, well, should they be allowed to the NHL? They will. And in due time, they will. And I'll tell you why. Because Evander Kane is another situation, you know, for many years. A lot of people were annoyed that he is playing in the NHL. But he, too, no matter what you see about his, transgressions there, not found guilty.
There's a number of NHL players that have been found guilty of offenses that are being allowed to play in the NHL. I don't understand how these guys are not going to be allowed to play.
Well, everyone will have an opinion on that, and better text you than me because that's your show. Hey, besides that, you're going to take us to the Midwestern Legislative Conference on in Saskatoon.
You know, I'm looking forward to the conversation. We've got Carlo Dade on the program. He's from the University of Calgary School of Public Policy. He actually giving a presentation at this conference, so we'll talk about that. But he's actually as interested in talking about the rider Elks game that he was at on Friday night. So that'll weave its way into the conversation as well. Right.
Did you enjoy your weekend? You had
quite a weekend. Bit of time Abernethy off. Fair, Greg. It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
And it was so hot at the fair.
Scorching hot, but you know what?
Can people I just give props? It. We were there in the evening with you around the campfire and the fireworks to celebrate the hometown fair.
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
It went on for like the better part of half an hour.
Easily.
Yeah.
And like they must have spent, $500,000 on fireworks in Aber.
I think so. But I also know the volunteer fire department who ran them had a couple went askew and they were putting out a couple of grass fires started. I found that out after the fact. But, you know, they were definitely spectacular fireworks. And like you said, they lasted a long time.
So great when small communities get together like that and do their thing every summer. It's cool. Evan Bray is back at 8:30.